Morning, today's daf in Gittin Ayin Ches. Thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the Daf as long as Zechon Ishmael Slipa, Gabriela Bashmuel. We are 9 Zion Amid Base. We started the 8th parak of the Masech, the 8th parak of the Masech, as I mentioned yesterday. Extraordinarily popular parak to be learned amongst the yeshivas. A lot of concepts. In fact, yesterday we ended off with a concept, and that is Gita V'chatzero and Gita V'yada B'im Ke'echad. That two things need to happen simultaneously. If they don't happen simultaneously, neither will happen. And that is that you're going to hand the get to your wife, and we have a principle of Masha Kantisha Kanabala. Now, regarding the wife, the Gemara admits it's not exactly the same as an Evid Kanani. You don't own your wife's hand, but nevertheless, though, by an Evid Kanani, it certainly serves as a significant issue because you do own. In other words, there you own the yad of the Evid Kanani. And as the Gemara pointed out yesterday, when you're throwing the get into the chatzer of your wife, you have. A hishtatzfus, a bailus in that property. If it's nechse malug, even though she owns the land itself, she owns the keren hakarka, the principal of the property. But you own the peros, which, as we pointed out yesterday, as we explained, means that you have a partnership in that property. And meanwhile, when you throw it into the chatzer, the get becomes hers. How can it become hers? You have a partnership in that property. You have sheichus to that property. So how can it become hers? So the answer is Rava came up with a big idea, with a klal, and that is Gita V'yada B'im Ke'echad. He said that by Evid Kanani, and we're going to say in our scenario, Gita V'chatzer B'im Ke'echad. That is where we got up to yesterday, and we are continuing in the Gemara. We are on Ayin Zayin Amud Beis, and we're, it's about a third of the way down, not even. Not, right, less than that. Ha'hu Shchiv Meira, Kashal Amanda V'shtavish, okay. Here we go. Okay, it's about 10 lines, a dozen lines from the top of the Amud. First one in the line is Vechatzera. You have a Shchiv Meira, so the man is dying. And he's writing a get for his wife, and it is Erev Shabbos. Okay, obviously, he's writing a get because he does not want her to be an almana. Apparently, there must have been some sort of yibum scenario that he wanted her to avoid. He wrote her again, and he wrote an Erev Shabbos. Now, but he didn't give it to her yet. So the get was written, and the get's prepared, but it was not actually handed to her. And as we've discussed, since the beginning of the Masechta, but this is really the topic of discussion within the 8th parak, and that there has to be an Estina Biyada. He's got to give it to her, and he hasn't done that yet. But now Shabbos comes, and he hasn't handed it to her yet, and now he takes a turn for the worse. He was already in a bad state before Shabbos, but on Shabbos itself, his condition really takes a turn for the worse. Also coming to Rava, so they need a quick decision from Rava. What are they to do in order to hand the get to his wife? Now, let's ask a very simple question. Why not just simply he pick up the get and hand it to his wife? What's the issue over there? So Rashi says the issue over there is muksa. The get is muksa. Now, that explanation of Rashi is a little bit difficult because, as we're going to learn in just a moment, what the Chachamim allowed it to be done in such a situation is for there to be a kinyan so that the wife could be kohen at the property on which the get is on, and she's going to acquire the get. Meaning, the Chachamim are going to allow a kinyan to occur on Shabbos. We know that making kinyanim on Shabbos is an issa d'rabbanan. So, the question I'll just present right now is, why would the Chachamim disallow one issa d'rabbanan, i.e. muksa, and meanwhile allow another issa d'rabbanan on Shabbos, which would be making kinyan on Shabbos? Hold that question. I'm going to come back. We're going to respond to that question. Let's go back. Let's see the story inside. Also, the Kamei de Rava, so they go to Rava. Amar lehu zila, amar leh likni, ni'aleh lahu duchta. So Rava says, okay, you see the get right now, it's in a place. So what we're going to do is, he says to the husband, you're going to be kona for her that place that the get's standing on. And what she's going to do is she's going to close the door, open the door. V'tachzik bay. And she will make a kinyan chazaka, a proprietary act on the property itself, simply by opening and closing the door. Didnan, and here the Gemara quotes the Mishnah, Baba Basra, talking about a proprietary act. Let's not confuse. There are two types of kinyan chazaka. One type of kinyan chazaka, which I think is we're like more in tune to hearing, is squatting on a property for 3 years. But that's not what the Gemara is talking about over here. The kinyan chazaka that's being made mention over here in our our Gemara, is a proprietary act in order to acquire a property. There are three ways that a property can be acquired. One is kesef, two is shtar, and three is chazaka. Money, document, and a proprietary act. That's what the Gemara is talking about over here. Doing a proprietary act, and the Gemara quotes the Mishnah Baba Basra. Nal geder, parets kol shehu, areze chazaka. Just simply... closing and opening the fence, doing some sort of manipulation with the fence, is considered a proprietary act where now you are the owner of the property. So basically by her opening and closing the door, that's going to be now her acquisition of the property. Now, Rashi goes on to explain that how did she acquire the get? So Rashi says, Kinyan Agav. What does that mean, Kinyan Agav? So we know the halacha is that in terms of acquiring movable items, so the classic way to acquire movable items is Meshicha, Hagbah, depending on the size of the item, right? Actually physically holding, taking the item. But again, as we explained already, Rav didn't want her handling the get itself because it gets muksa. So what are we going to do over here? It's a kinyan known as kinyan agav. The way kinyan agav works is that when you acquire property and there are movable items, as the movable items will be acquired together with the property itself. This is Kinyan Agav. Rashi quotes a Mishnah in Kiddushin. Hareza Chazaka, Rashi. Yeah, here we go. Hareza Chazaka, it's more than half the way down on the Amud. Liknoshe Namochi Yacholachsubo Dehashikayav Lechatzav Gita Besoch Vetanan. Here it is. Rashi quotes the Mishnah. Nechasim Shein Lamachrayos, nickname Im Nechasim Shein Lamachrayos, because of Shtar Vechazaka. So the way that you do an acquisition on the property will also, together with the property, also create an acquisition on the movables itself. So by her opening and closing the door, she's going to acquire the Chatzar. And then, together with the Chatzar, she's also going to make an acquisition on the get itself. Okay. Before we go on in the story, let me go back to the question that I asked. So therefore, what just happened? So now the woman created a kinyan on the get, and she's divorced. And how did she do that? By a kinyan agav, according to Rashi. Again, just to readdress the issue. So the Chachamim allowed her to have a kinyan on Shabbos, which again, kinyanim on Shabbos is an issim d'rabbanan. You can't have kinyanim on Shabbos. Why? That's the it's gzera d'rabbanan. The Gemara in Beitza explains the Gemara in Shabbos. It's because if you allow business transactions to be done on Shabbos, you're going to end up writing. So it's a gzera. So the Chachamim allowed her to do that, as opposed to picking up the get and handing the get from him to her. So again, as I explained, Rashi says, why? Why would they allow one Durabana and not the other Durabana? Rashi doesn't address that question. Why can't he hand her the get? Because it's muksa, the get's muksa. That's what Rashi says. Why can you do a kinyan? Well, he's a shchimiran, he's dying. And so they allowed it. So again, question. Why would they allow one Issa Durabanan but disallow another Issa Durabanan? So the other Rishonim say, in explanation of Rashi, that because one is obvious and one is less obvious. Meaning, if she were to pick up the get, the get's muksa. If she were to pick up the get and hand the get over to, if he would pick up the get and hand it over to her, that would be an obvious violation of Shabbos. The get's muksa. Masha Ain Kane, over here, what did she end up doing to the naked eye? She opened the door, she closed the door. Now, it's true that by doing so, she violated the Isser Kinyan on Shabbos, but again, you and I who are learning the Gemara right now, so we know that. But in terms of obviously violating Shabbos, it's not as obvious a violation. That's why they allowed one over the other. So now the question was asked to Rava. Now we know already, because of yesterday's daf, that Rava has an answer to this question. But right now, we don't know that. Let's pretend we don't know that. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. It's his property. Meaning, right? What do you mean it's her property? It's her property. Any property she acquires is nechsei malug, which means that he's going to have payers in the property. So it's never exclusively her property. Every property she owns or acquires, he's going to have the rights of payers in it, which means that he's going to become a partner in that property. How can you say the property is exclusively hers? You can't say that. So Ichsef. So Rava, when he heard this question, he was embarrassed. He didn't know how to answer it. Wait. We'll get there. Igla Milsa Darus Avai. So the Gemara says, well, it comes out later that she was an Arusa, and as an Arusa, so there is such a thing as property that she owns that he has nothing in, because the peiros don't kick in until nisuin. So I'm a Rava Imam Rabbi Nisua Yom Rabbi Arusa. But then Rava ended up saying, you know what? I'm telling you that's not going to make a difference. This was Rava now defending his position. I understand by Nisuin where the pairs kick in, so he's a partner, but not by Arusa. Hadam Rava, but then Rava does an about face. He does the 180. Loshna Arusa, Loshna Nisuin. It doesn't make a difference. The Chatzar is going to be hers exclusively. Why? Because Gita v'Chatzar b'im ke'echad. Because the get and the Chatzar are coming to her simultaneously. And the Gemara says, now, you might have heard this at the end of yesterday's shir, where Rava said this already. So the Gemara says, so how come in this story, Rava didn't know Gita v'chatzer b'am ke'echad, and then he had an epiphany? What happened? The Gemara says, I'll tell you what happened. Now we know the timeline. V'ha amar Rava mikara ki amar Rava ha'ahay maisa amra. So the Gemara says, exactly. Meaning the epiphany of Rava of Gita v'chatzer b'am ke'echad happened over this very episode. The hu b'soch beisa. Sorry, v'hi b'soch beisa. We learned in the Mishnah yesterday's daf, on the beginning of the 8th parak, a number of scenarios in which the get would work. Number one says the Mishnah, azori get lishto v'hi b'soch beisa o b'soch chatzera. The first scenario is he throws her the get into her house, into her chatzer, and then the Mishnah says that she has to be in the house. But why? Before we discuss the why, first let's discuss the what. So the Gemara starts the discussion. V'hi b'soch beisa amar ula v'hu she'omedes b'tzad beisa uv'tzad chatzera. Okay, he has to be standing right by the house and right by the chatzer. Rav Oshia Amar afilu hi b'tveria v'chatzera b'tzipori. Hi b'tzipori v'chatzera b'tveria migoreshes. Okay, so we have a machlokas amarayim. We're discussing right now the what. Yeah. Ula says that she has to be right by the house. She has to be right by the house. She has to be right by the chatzer as the husband's throwing it into her house and into her chatzer. And Rav Oshia says no. She doesn't. She could be in the next town over. It doesn't matter. Tveri and Sipari, we discussed a number of times. They're near each other. Twenty minutes by car. Yeah. Okay. Sipari is modern day. I was thinking the same thing also. Kfar Kedem is over there. Yeah, well, you and I were both, we weren't there together, but we were both there. Anyway, so Hoshaya. Yeah. They're right next to each other, but they're not. It's not the same town. It doesn't matter. According to Rav Hoshia, Hoshaya. So according to Rav Hoshia, as long as the towns are near each other, her chatzer is in one town, she's in the other town. That's fine. Now the Gemara says, now he b'soch beisa v'ha. I'm sorry, v'ha he b'soch beisa b'soch chatzer katani. Now I'll tell you what. We don't even understand what they're arguing about, but we do know the Mishnah. And the Mishnah says that you have to be, she has to be standing next to the house, next to the courtyard. Hachi kamar. So Rav Oshia says, yeah, but here's how I understand the Mishnah. V'hi kimi shebesoch beisa, v'hi kimi shebesoch chatzera. No, you don't have to actually. She doesn't have to actually be standing by the chatzer, as long as it's like she's standing by the chatzer. Now, dekevin the chatzer mishamers l'da'atahim et gareshet. What the Mishnah means is that there has to be shmira. There has to be an element of the get being thrown into a house and a house that's under her control. Shmira ladas, meaning as long as it's in a safe place that belongs to her, that will be a kiyum of giving a get in her hand. Now, we have a simple machlokas over here between the Amorayim, which is how close does she need to be? Within what proximity does she need to be next to the house in order for the kinyan of the get to be effective? According to Ula, she has to be standing mamish next to the house and next to the chatzer. According to Rav Oshia, no, she doesn't have to be standing next to her. As long as there's a shmir ladas, that's enough. So the Gemara now would like to try to suggest a lumdus in terms of how to understand this machlokus. A simple analysis. Lema.
Just the time of the beginning of the shir. That she's in the world.
That's coming up in today's daf. I'm going to ask you just to wait a little bit on that question, because you'll see later on. So lema ba'hakim ifik the marsav chatzim mishum yadais rabbi marsav chatzim mishum shlichas it's rabbi. So the gemara now in lamdus is going to suggest that really at the core of this issue is how does a chatzar work? Is a chatzar an extension of her hand? Or is a chatzar basically serving as a shliach? Now, admittedly, it's an awkward shliach. Usually a shliach is a person, an animate person who's going to be accepting it on your behalf. But still, what the Gemara now is suggesting is, in terms of lamdus, maybe that's exactly how the chatzar works. It's functioning as a shliach. And the Gemara says, and look, let's consider. If it's operating like her hand, so what do you know, what are the properties of a hand? The hand is very close to you. Right. Well, it also happens to me, and the Gemara is going to point it out in just a moment, the real property of a hand is that it's connected to you. Right, you want to tell me the property is connected to you? Okay, so, but still, that's what the Gemara now is suggesting. As opposed to a shliach, we know that if a shliach, if you appoint a shliach, he doesn't have to be next to you as he's collecting the get on your behalf, or as she's collecting the get on your behalf. We know that the shliach could be at a distance from you. So the Gemara now is suggesting this is a nekud hamachlokis between Ula and Rav Oshia in terms of whether she needs to be next to the chatzar. The Gemara rejects the lamdus. Lo, the kulei amach chatzar mishum yadais rabbi. Really, truth be told, is that it has to work. It operates through yad. Mar sarva ki yada, ma yada besmucha, chatzar besmucha. And now it's just a question of how to understand the property of a hand. A hand is close, so to the chatzar has to be close. V'idachim yada. And the other position of Rav Oshia's position would be, wait one second, let's think about this. Your hand is connected to you. Does your chatzar need to be connected to you? It's not. So when we're talking about a hand, we're looking at the properties of a hand. When something's in your hand, it means it's under your control. It's under your domain. When something's in your chatzar, as long as it has the same basic properties that's under your control, shmira, that would be sufficient. So the Gemara says, Zafuki chatzar mishamer shelo da'ata. The Gemara says, if it goes into your chatzar that's not under your control, it's not going to work. Stay tuned. The Gemara, in a couple minutes from now, is going to go over a scenario in which it's a chatzar that is eino mishamer shelo da'ata. We tell a story. How gavra dezark lagita ledvasayu. So a man was threw a get to his wife. Have a kaima bechatzer, and it goes into a chatzer. Right now, I'm not going to say whose chatzer it is. Stay tuned. But it goes into a chatzer. Also gita nafa bepisla. Now, what happens is that the get does not land in the chatzer proper. It lands on a wooden block that's in the chatzer. I'm Rav Yosef Chazinan. Ihava arba amos al arba amos palglei reshus al nafshei. If that block, says Rav Yosef, is 4x4 tfachim, it now it occupies its own reshus. It is. It's so funny. I'm thinking to myself, it has to be amos. You know the trick. I've told you this in the past. If it's arba al arba, excuse me, that's lashon nekeva. Right, numbers in Hebrew are the reverse. Arba amos lashon nekeva, so that's amos. Amos nekeva. If it is arba'a al arba'a, that's lashon zacher. That's going on tefachim. Okay, so right, so whoever said amos over here is correct, but I wasn't one of them. But okay, anyway, so al arba amos, so palag reshus al nafshe. So if it's 4x4 amos, so it has its own separate reshus. V'ilo chad reshusahu. I'm sorry, chad reshusahi. Otherwise, it's all one singular reshus. So. Story goes that the man threw a get to his wife. It was in a chatzar. Again, I'm not saying whose chatzar it is yet, because I'm going to pretend like I don't know. And it landed awkwardly, not in the actual reshus proper, but it landed on a wooden block that was in the reshus. Rav Yosef said that wooden block is 4x4 amos, you know, the square dimensions of the block. So then it's its own singular individual property, differentiated from the rest of the chatzar, and therefore there wasn't a kinyan, and it's no good. The Gemara says, we need a lot more context over here to understand what's going on. So, So the Gemara says, wait one second, let's think about this. Is it her chatzar? So the Gemara says, even if the wooden block is dal amos by dal amos, who cares? It's a wooden block That's in her chatzer. Of everything is hers. The chatzer is hers. The wooden block is hers. What difference does it make? Ella bechatzer didei. So the Gemara says it must be that the chatzer belongs to him. So kilo hava arba amas mayhave. Well, if the chatzer belongs to him, throwing a get into his very own chatzer is not going to affect the kinyan because the Torah says v'nasam biyada, and you don't have that. So lo tzricha deushle makom. So the Gemara says what happens is that he lent her his rishus for the purposes of kinyan, meaning it was his chatzer. But he said to her, here's what we're going to do. I'm giving you, now Rashi over here says it's a she'ela. I'm lending you this property so that when I throw the get into it, you will have a kinyan because it will become your property for the purposes of kinyan haget. What happens now, however, is that instead of the get landing in the property per se, it lands on a wooden block that's in the property. And what the Gemara now is saying, again, goes back to Rav Yossi's point, is that that wooden block is dalamos by dalamos, there's not going to be a kinyan. Why not? Now the Gemara explains. The chad makam mushle inshli, train makam mushle mushle inshli. Because as a general rule, when he lent her the property, he only lent her one property, not two properties. Meaning the wooden block being dal by dalamos is effectively considered its own individual property. Now, of course, in Achinami,
it's not part of the, isn't it part of the
in Achinami, if he said to her, I'm renting out to you this and this, presumably it would work. It's just that the general mindset of people is that I'm just giving you one, not two. Now the Gemara says, "V'lo manela delo gavara sarava gavara sarava gav delo have arba amas." The Gemara throws in a couple of qualifiers. Number one, if the wooden block is not 4x4 amas, but it's over 10 tefachim high, it's considered rishus bifnei atzmo. We know that in terms of Hilchos Shabbos, that we know that something above 10 tefachim has its own individual characteristic, has its own rishus. Now, that is a little bit of an oversimplification because we also happen to know that in terms of Rishus by Shabbos, Rishus HaYachid is Ola L'Rakia. If the Chatzir here in question is the Rishus HaYachid, if it's fenced in, it's Ola L'Rakia. So in this particular case, it's not as simple as I presented it. But okay, anyway, but over 10 Tfachim is in other areas of Allah, its own separate rishos. V'lo amar nela delay slay shem levai, v'al islay shem levai afagav delo gavo asar v'afagav delo have arba amos. And then the Gemara says, and also, if this wooden block has its own name, right? It's a stump that people sit on, and you know, and you call it the stump. Or whatever. In other words, if it has its own identity, even if it's not dal by dal, even if it's not ten tefachim high, it still represents its own individual rishus, and therefore, if the get landed on this block, on the stump, so then it's not going to be a kinyan. The Gemara continues, afilu hu yima b'mita. Okay. Gemara says, we're going back now to the Mishnah. The next scenario in the Mishnah is he throws the get, but it's in his house and it's in his chatzer. And even if the get lands right next to his wife, she's in bed, and the get lands right next to her in bed. Doesn't work. Because again, it has to be v'nasam b'yada. Didn't go in her hand, and it didn't go on her property. So it's not again. The Mishnah made that point. Amar Rav lo shanu ella b'mita shelo, ava b'mita shela migureshes. If the bed belongs to him, the gerushin is no good. If the bed belongs to her, the gerushin is good. Tanya namehachu, the Gemara quotes a brisa. Rabbi Eliezer Amar b'mita shelo ina migureshes, b'mita shela migureshes. So the brisa makes exactly the same distinction. Over b'mita shela migureshes, the Gemara says, wait 1 second. Why? If it's her bed, the gerushin is a good gerushin. Why should that be? Kalev shalokech b'rishus mocher hu. Shma mina kalev shalokech b'rishus mocher kone lokeach. The Gemara says this touches on a very heated debate that takes place in Gemara Baba Basra, and that's the following. I want to make a kinyan on an item. So we're in your house. I'm going to put my kli down, and you're going to take your item and put it in my kli, even though it's your house. Did I make an acquisition? If we're talking about an Arusha Sarabim, perfect. If we're talking about my property, perfect. It's your property right now. Anywhere you put it down, it's yours. If I put my kli in your property, and you put it within my kli, do I make a kinyan on that item? The Gemara in Baba Basra has a very heated debate about this very issue. The Gemara right now does not want to get involved in that debate. The Gemara would like to stay away from that debate. So let's consider. What the Gemara now is saying is that it's her bed in his house, and he puts the get in her bed, so we have a statement by Rava. We have a brisa that both say that the get is an effective get. Isn't this now basically confirming that Kalev Shelokeach Birishus Mocher does in fact create a kinyan? And the Gemara does not want to get involved in that discussion. It doesn't want to. It doesn't want to resolve that debate.
Can you argue that even her bed is considered his bed because everything that she owns belongs to him?
No, that's true by karka. That's not by movable items.
She can have her own
metaltum. So anyway, so Kel Shokoch Brishamukher, Amar Vihud, Amar Shmuel Kigon. Shahisa Kalta Tlu Yaba. So the Gemara now is going to give a number of scenarios in which we don't have to get onto the topic of Kalev Shel Lokeach. So one scenario the Gemara says is that she had the basket was hanging off her neck. So in other words, it's not her kli is not sitting in his property. It's literally hanging on her neck. So that's one scenario in which the get obviously is going to be hers. You didn't hand it to her, but you put it in a basket that was hanging around her neck. Fine. That makes it easy. That would be a scenario. So almost like a dog on a leash, but here it's like a basket on a leash. It doesn't have to be hanging off of her neck as long as it's tied to her. So Reish Lakish says that's enough. That's enough now where the basket is shaykh to her. And again, you don't have to get onto the topic of Kalev Shalokeach because it's literally tied to her. The basket is between her legs. She's sitting and it's in her lap. That area also is more shaykh to her than the just a simple question of Kalev Shalokeach. Rav Mishar Shabarav Dima Amar Kigon Shaisa Bala Mocher Klasos. So the Gemara gives another suggestion. The husband is a basket seller. That's his job. He has a special place in his house where he keeps all of his baskets. She puts the basket down over there. Since that place is shaykh for baskets, so therefore it's a place that's deemed totally hers, and again it doesn't touch on the question of Kalev Shalokeach. Rav Yochanan Amar Makom Cheka Kanuila, Makom Kalta Kanuila. Rav Yochanan gives a more fundamental answer, which is that when she sits down in someone else's property, the lap is considered hers, meaning that area where she sits is considered hers. The basket, the area where she puts down the basket, is considered hers as well. Rashi explains. Rashi explains. When a woman gets married and she moves into her husband's house, even though the house belongs to him, there's an understanding that she's moving in. Meaning she's occupying space. Now, she's occupying space, meaning her physical body obviously is going to be in the house. And also, there has to be an understanding that she's got her things. She's moving in. And so, therefore, there's a default understanding that there's going to be, even though it's his house, places in the house that belong to her. Right? The Gemara here describes her a place for her basket. Right? She has a sewing box. So wherever the sewing box is, That's her place. I'm a Rav of my time. The Rav Yochanan Lefishe in Adam Makbid. I'm sorry. She Lefishe in Adam Makbid Lo Amakum Chek of Lo Amakum Kalta. Gemara says that's the reason because the husband's not Makbid. The understanding is that there's going to be place in his house for her things. Tanya Nami Achad. The Gemara quotes the Brisa that supports this as well. Zarka Lo Soch Cheka. Ola Soch Kalsa. Ola Soch Kol Davashu Kekalta. Harayz the Megresh. It's Kol Davashu Kekalta. Lasui Amai. The Gemara says what are we coming to include? Lasui Taska the Achlaba Ta. Tom Ray. For lunchbox. I know, the lunchbox is a funny imagery over here. We're talking about a married woman, but okay. So we don't have to go with a lunchbox. I just thought it was cute. And by the way, Rashi, talk about cute. Rashi says, do you know what a taska is? I mean, taska is basically some sort of lunchbox. But Rashi over here says, taska is in French, taska. I don't know what, you're right. I understand Rashi is giving a French word for the Gemara's word, and the two words are synonymous, but I guess maybe the pronunciation is a little bit different?
No.
No? Okay, anyway, okay. Okay, my French expert over here is...
A bag?
Whatever.
A tick.
Yes. A tick, but the Gemara here says a tiska.
Yeah, but
okay.
Says, well,
She's eating dates out of it. Anyway, let's move ahead. So again, just quickly before we go ahead in the Mishnah. So again, to the next Mishnah. So we've learned that in order for the kinyan to be effective, the get has to go into her rishus. It goes into her rishus. So if it goes into her house or into her chatzir, it's going to be hers. Does she have to be standing directly next to the chatzir? That was machlokas amarim we discussed earlier between Ula and Rav Oshia as to whether or not she has to be proximate to the area. And the Mishnah says that even if it's he throws it to her in her house and it's on the bed and she's on the bed, that's also not going to be hers. The Gemara then goes on to explain, but if it's her bed, it's going to belong to her. How can that be? So the Gemara's answer is a number of answers. Again, all the answers the Gemara wanted to avoid the question of Kelev Shalokech Birshus Mocher, because again, that's a machlokes in Baba Basra. We wanted to avoid it. So the Gemara gave numerous answers and explanations of how it's her kli, but it's more shaykh to her. It could either physically be hanging on her neck or on a leash, or it's a place in the house where the husband, generally speaking, is not makbid, and therefore it's more shaykh to her.
Is that why Rabbi Shimon Chasson meant halachas? Well, he has no control.
We're going to, right. Well, the Gemara, it's coming up in the Gemara, so we're going to see it inside. Amala Kinsi Sharchov Zeh. Okay, Rabbi Katzik, you asked a question earlier about what did she need to know at the time of the presentation of the get. That's exactly what we're going to be learning together in our Mishnah. Husband says to his wife, do me a favor, could you pick up the phone bill over there? See the piece of paper over there? That's this month's phone bill. Could you just pick it up? And as she picks it up, she learns, she makes a terrible discovery that's no phone bill, but rather that's the get. And I know it's an unusual way of presentation. So I'm like Kinsi Sharchov Zeh Oshinim So Mechorav, or let's say the get is hanging out of his belt, right? He tucked the get in between his belt and his pants, and she plucked it out of there. So Korav Arei Gita. So now she's reading and she realizes this is no phone bill. This is unfortunately my get. It's a terrible discovery. So Eino Get Ad Sheomer La. Hagitech. It's not going to be a get until he explains to her this is your get. Now, Rashi says very clearly, he doesn't have to give it to her again. The nesina that was done is acceptable. It just has to be that there needs to be an explanation, even though it's not at the time of nesina, even though it's at a later point in time, there has to be an explanation that this is your get. Let me first finish the Mishnah, and then I'll pause and I will we'll consider. So let's say he hands her the get while she's sleeping. Ne'ura, and it's a terrible thing to wake up to. And Koravare Gita. Meanwhile, it's her get. Eino get Achiyomala Hagitech. Again, the point over here is going to be the same point. There does not need to be a nunasina. As long as it's explained to her at a later point in time that the get is in fact going to be her get, it is her get that was handed to her, so the get would be a valid and effective get, even though at the time of the nesina, obviously she wasn't even conscious. Danny.
Okay, what's the difference between this scenario giving it against her will?
There is no difference. That doesn't have to be given to her with her consent. A get does not have to be consensual. All she needs to know is that she has to be physically handed it to her, and it has to be explained to her. And as we're learning now in our Mishnah, not even at the time of Nesina has to be explained to her that this was a get. In other words, when he throws it to the chatzah, the Gemara said the chatzah is mishum yad. It's like putting in her hand. Oh, good. So explain. So let's assume that at some point subsequently was explained to her. I know the Gemara earlier hasn't mentioned that, but the Gemara's going to go point by point. So right now the next point is that at some point in time there has to be explained to her that this is a get, but it doesn't have to be the Bishas Nesina. We start with the Gemara. The Gemara is bothered by the following. There wasn't an Asina. He didn't give it to her. And when explained to her that the get was her get, she's holding the get at that point in time. There was no Asina. So the Gemara says, and really the question actually is a little more fundamental. He never handed her the get. What's the first scenario in the get? Kifi Shtarchov Zeh. You see that phone bill, go pick it up. He's not handing it to her. Or, and maybe in this, maybe in that case in the Mishnah, maybe he was holding it. And he told her to take it from his hand. Next case in the Mishnah, however, the get was actually in his pants, between the belt and the pants. And she pulls it from there. That's not an asina. So the Gemara says,
she was sleeping, he gave put it in his,
well, there, that's an asina. That's good. So the Gemara says, Eimash Shafto Me'acharav. So the Gemara says, well, maybe he was holding it and she took it from him. The Gemara says, Shafto Nami, Habi Inam Venasam Biyadav, Aleka. Gemara says, I'm still not, it's not enough. In order for the get to be a get, there has to be a nasina, a physical giving of the get from him to her. So Lo Tzricha Da'arik Le'echar Tzeva Shafate. So the Gemara says that he moved the get in her general direction. In other words, right, he basically moved his body in her general direction. The nasina, I know we generally think of it as the get being in his hand, and he is he's moving it into her direction, but what the Gemara is essentially saying is, he doesn't have to actually hand it to her, as long as the get, even if it's mounted on his body, but he moves his body in his general direction, kind of like a little bit of a hip check, if you will, in her direction. That is a satisfaction of the requirement of Vinasan. Tanya Namehach, the Gemara quotes the Brisa supporting this as well. Amar la kinsi sharchov zeh. Oh, sheshafto me'achorav. Sheshafto me'achorav. Karasav harei gita. Eino get ashiyam la. Ha gitech divrei Rebbe. Rebbe says that as long as he is moving the get in her general direction and she takes it, that's a get. And in terms of explanation, that explanation can come later. Rebbe Shimon ben Elazar omer lo lamenu get ashiyat lanu haymenu v'yachzov yidnen la v'yomala ha gitech. And Rebbe Shimon ben Elazar says, no, that's insufficient. Rebbe Shimon ben Elazar says that the get is only going to be a valid get if at the time when he hands her the get, he explains to her at that point in time that this is your get. So according to Rebbe Shimon ben Elazar, if when she's taking the get from him, she didn't understand it was a get, that's no good. You got to give it back to him to give it back to her, where you can explain at the time of Nesina that it's a get. We're going to go over the same case that we went over the Mishnah, but again, with the Machlokas of Rebbe and Rav Shimon Balazar. Get was handed to her when she was sleeping. She wakes up and reads it. And then she realizes it's her get. So again, according to Rebbe, no new Nesina needs to be done. A simple explanation, this is your get, is all you need. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, Amar Ashi Lanem, and Aviyachzav Yinen Alon, V'yamala HaGitech. And Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar says, again, you got to go through the whole Nesina one more time. Give the get back to the husband, hand it back to her while she's awake, obviously, and say, B'shas Nesina, this is your get. Why do I need the machlokas in both of these scenarios? They seem to be pretty similar. Tzricha. The Gemara says no, they're necessary.
What would
it have to do? Let me just finish the thread. The Itmar Bahat Kamaisa Bahi Kamar Rebbe Mishum Debasi Gushahi. The Gemara says that, look, when she's awake, she's conscious, she at least at that point in time is in a position where she can understand that this would be her get, even though at the time it wasn't explained to her. But at least she's conscious. But one can hear easily an argument that in the scenario where she's sleeping, maybe Rebbe would agree with Rav Shimon ben Elazar. She's not even conscious. How can that be called a nesina? Maybe Rebbe would agree that you'd have to, when she wakes up, take the get back by the husband, hand it back to her again, and do a new nesina again. And if all I had was the case of the sleeping, then in the first case I might have argued that Rav Shimon ben Elazar would agree with Rebbe. Therefore, both cases are necessary. Okay. Amar Rava. Okay, good. Amar Rava. If you give your get in the hands of her Eved. Okay, so now, I mentioned earlier in the daf today, that there's going to be a scenario in which there's going to be in her chatzer, but it's not mishtameris ladatz. She does not have control. What would be an example? Her Eved Kenani. Now, her Eved Kenani is hers. It's her property. Right? And in many halachas, we know that the Eved Kenani is very similar to chatzer. Even though, obviously, it's not property, it's a human being, but still, halachically, the status of an Eved Kenani is property. So one could now make the argument that if I place the get not in the hands of the wife, but in the hand of the eved of the wife, it's the same. So here, now what we're about to learn is that the eved kenani does not have shmira ladas. He's his own person. Obviously owned by his master, in this case the master being the wife, but still, it's not a shmir ladas, and therefore it won't work. Let's see this inside. If the Eved Kenani is sleeping, good. That means that's the Chatzar HaMishtameris. Near Eino Get. So, but if the Eved is awake, so then, yes, the Eved Kenani is the Chatzar, but no, it's not Mishtameris Ladata. The Gemara says, Yashin Mishtameris HaRezeget, Amai Chatzar Malachasi, VeChatzar Malachas Lokana. So the Gemara says, now, even when the Eved Kenani is sleeping, isn't that considered a moving chatzer? And isn't a moving chatzer not enough to create a kinyan? Now the Gemara says, well, he's sleeping, so he's not moving. Yeah, even though he's sleeping, but he can wake up at any point in time and move at any point in time. Halachically speaking, the status of such a chatzer is always deemed a chatzer mahalachas. How can it work? So the Gemara's response is, well, it must mean that not only was the Eved Kenani sleeping, but sleeping and tied down. So now, sleeping so that you have a shmira ladas, tied down so that it's not a chatzar mehalaches. Obviously, a very awkward scenario, just a strange visual. But still, that's the way that resolves both halachic dilemmas. Now we are up to the next Mishnah. We are now in the Rishus HaRabim. So now, as opposed to the previous Mishnahs where we're talking about him throwing it into her chatzer, him throwing it into his own chatzer, but the mita belongs to her, and numerous scenarios. So the...
going back, throwing it into the chatzer he still hasn't said anything. She's still...
Right, so we asked that. So in other words, I have to explain. Well, correct. We're now in the Rishus HaRabim. Now, Rishus HaRabim is has its own interesting dimension. Obviously, being a public domain, so now you don't know, the husband doesn't own the property, the wife doesn't own the property. So now, what is there to consider? So we're going to say something simple, and then later we're going to say something a little more complicated. Let's start with the simple. The simple is that we have a takana derabban of what's called dal amos. Dal amos b'rishus rabbim means that when I walk in rishus rabbim, so every time I create a new position within the dal amos, so I'm sorry, within the rishus rabbim, four amos that surround me. In other words, we'll create a radius of four amos, and that circumference of the four amos is going to be konet will acquire for me. Meaning anything in that dal amos will belong to me, and this dal amos and the rishus rabbim operates through a takana derabbanan and din derabbanan. And it makes a lot of sense. Meaning that if I don't have dal amos b'rishus rabbim, and an item is proximate to me, and someone now runs into my dal amos and takes it, so that'll start a very unfortunate altercation. So the chachamim were misakin that you have dal amos and rishus rabbim. Okay, that's an easy way to present how you can acquire something within rishus rabbim. Later we're going to go over a somewhat more complicated scenario, but right now let's deal with dal amos. Haithoman is rishus rabbim, he and her and rishus rabbim. Vizarku la, and he throws it to her. Karov la migreshes. If it's close to her, the gerushin is effective. Karov lo, ain't no megareshes. Mechsa al mechsa, megareshes ve ain't no megareshes. If it's somewhere in between, the gerushin is somewhere in between. Meaning she is divorced and not divorced. Meaning it's a suffix. Now again, the suffix can be resolved by him just simply going there, picking up the get, handing it to her, and then problem resolved. Obviously, what the Mishnah is telling us is if that's the only thing that happened, where he threw it to her and it landed somewhere in between the two of them, and then he dies, we do not know if she's a widow or she's a divorcee. V'chein le'in kedushin, and the Mishnah points out that this is not just limited to gerushin, it would all be true by kedushin as well. He throws a kesef of kedushin at her. And again, close to him, no good. Close to her, effective. Somewhere in the middle, they may or may not be married. And again, we can even go beyond the world of gerushin and kedushin. We can go to just a simply monetary obligation. I owe you money. You lent me money. I owe you the money, and I throw the money at you. Okay, and it's not the best way to pay back your debt. Be nicer if you went over there and handed it to him. That's obvious. But the Mishnah's point over here is that we're going to have the same halachic conundrum. If the money lands closer to me, so I've not paid the debt. If the money lands closer to you, then I paid the debt. And if the money lands somewhere in the middle, so Zaruk Lo, I'm sorry. Let me read this inside the Mishnah. Amalo Baal Chovo Zaruk Li Chovi V'Zarku Lo Karv LaMalve Zacha. If it lands closer to the creditor, great. And if the money was not, if the toss was not a good toss, then it landed closer to the lova, he's still on the hook to have to pay back the debt. Mexa al mexa, if the money lands between the two of them, shneim yachaloku. The Mishnah takes a very interesting position, which is the money gets divided between the two parties. Okay, we have a lot to discuss over here. Let's start with the Gemara right away. Let's understand. What's going on over here? What exactly are the parameters? Literally, the parameters of the man and the woman who are in the Rishus Rabin. So, Amarav, Arba Amishalah, Zeu Karavla. Arba Amishalah, Zeu Karavlah. So, the Gemara now starts off the discussion, as I mentioned back in the Mishnah, with the easy explanation of Dalet Amos. You and I and everybody in the Rishus Rabin have Dalet Amos. So, if the money, we're back to get. Yes. If the get lands in her Dalet Amos, the Gerishin is successful. If the get lands in his Dalet Amos, the Gerushin was not successful. That's all well and good. Now, what's the case of Mechza al Mechza? Hey, Chidami Mechza al Mechza, Amar Shmo Bar Yitzchak, Kegon Shayushneim, Omdim Ba'ar Ba'amos. They are both standing within the same Dalet Amos. So, meaning, right, she and I are actually four Amos within one another. So now we have overlapping Dalet Amos. The Gemara says, that's not mechza or mechza. And again, sorry for the bad sports analogy, but when you take a charge in basketball, so it's just, okay, Danny's like, yeah, I understand. So when you take a charge in basketball, so is it an offensive foul or is it a defensive foul? So it depends on who got possession of the, who got positioned there first. Whoever got positioned there first is entitled to that spot. If the okay again, if you're not holding in basketball, then the analogy is terrible. And okay, but if the defender got that position first, that's his position, and now that would be considered an offensive charge. If the offensive player got there first, so then that is a foul on the defense. Okay, and it works the same exact way when it comes to Dalet Amos. Whoever got there first, that's their Dalet Amos. So the Gemara says, So the Gemara says, well, maybe they got there simultaneously. And that's why reffing in the NBA is so hard. So the Gemara says, The Gemara says, well, we can never be sure. And at this point in time, let's ask a really simple question. Well, if we're not sure who got there first, so then we don't know. Right. And haven't we resolved our question? Right. Meaning our question was, what's the case of Mechza Mechza? So the Gemara says, well, they're sharing the same Dalet Amos. The Gemara says, well, you don't share. Whoever gets there first gets the Dalet Amos. Well, the Gemara says, well, we don't know who got there first. So shouldn't the Gemara at that point say, mission accomplished? We're looking for a case of Suffolk. We have a case of Suffolk. We don't know who got there first. Why isn't the Gemara now happy? The Gemara should be happy right now. And the Gemara says, I'm not happy. So Tosus points out, Tosus on the next Amud. It's the second Tosos. Tosus points out that the Gemara is not happy right now because it doesn't really fit into the language of the Mishnah. The language of the Mishnah is Mechza al Mechza. If one of them got there first and we don't know, that's not Mechza al Mechza. Right. That means somebody owns the Dalet Amos, we just don't know who. Yeah. So even though, yes, it's true that would be a suffix, but it doesn't fit the language of the Mishnah. That's why the Gemara is not happy right now. So, El Amar, Rav Kana, Achav, Beches, Amos, Mitzum, Tzamos, Askinan. The Gemara says they're exactly 8 amos away from one another. So my dal amos is at the border of your dal amos. The get, we're now on the top of Ayin Chesam and Beis. The get Yosei, may arba amos shalo, ledal amos shalom. And when the husband tossed the get to his wife, Bereshus HaRabim, so it landed on the border of his and her dal amos. So the Gemara says, if that's the case, there is no get at all. Period. The ha'agid gabei. The Gemara says there's still an agida. The get is still connected to him. If part of the get is in his dal amos, that's not a get bechlal. That's not gereshes veinu megereshes veinu megereshes. That's simply not a successful delivery of the get. Ella Rabbi Rav Yosef Dami Tavai Achabishte Kita E Damaskinan Achasamaris Kar of Law, Achasamaris Kar of Law. So we'll stop over here, and that is the answer. Rabbi and Rav Yosef is that there was a toss and there was a landing, and one referee said she had position. And I say referee, I really, of course, mean a pair of Adim. One pair of Adim say she had the position there, or it was closer to her. Another set of Adim say it was closer to him. And that is Mechsa al Mechsa, because that is two valid Adus going in two different directions. And therefore, the halach would be Megreshev and Megreshev. It should bother you, even at this point in time, we still don't fully, very good, we don't fully understand the Gemara's answer at this point in time, because it's now competing Adus, two competing Adus offset one another. And where should we land on? We should land on the Cheska that she was an Eishes Ish. Tosus is bothered by that question. It's a really good question. Tomorrow we start with Rav Yochanan. And maybe an attempt to answer Tosus' question.